The other phone wasn't charging, it was my phone.
This is the mic.
It's not turned on though. It's not turned on. Can you speak up?
So there's three themes I want to talk about. Beginning with Paraduma, and then we're going to talk about the Bear Miriam and which dies. And then I want to head towards the end of the parasha, which talks about the war, whether it's Canaan, whether it's Amalek, it's a story for itself. Okay, fine. So famously, Vayda Hashem Moshe v'Aharon Leibah, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Leibah. So Rashi says, "What's a chayim? Fisha sotam zayin amelis tzra leba ma mitzah zayis ma tamish bo fika kasuba chuka gzeri him refana elecha v'shus lahara achoya." So we understand a chayim is something which doesn't have a meaning behind it. Elecha lahara achoya means you can't say what it means. There's no understanding behind it. It's a chayim. Rashi in at the end of that, Perek says, "Why Paraduma? Why Tzivah Paraduma? Moshe Leben Shivcha Shetinav Paltin Shemelech Child of the Beitzer who makes the mess. On the top of the imoy, but Kalach Hatzor Kach Tov Yiporav is Kapa Leegal. If the child goes and makes the mess, then the mother should come along and clean it up." So Rashi said, "Why take Paraduma? Because the Egal was a child, it made a mess, and all to fix up the mess to bring a paraduma." So Rashi is giving an explanation behind the paraduma. If the whole point of a chayk is that there should be a reason behind the mitzvah, then Rashi is coming along and telling us that no, that this is a chayk, this is supposed to be a chayk, but then it comes along and Rashi tells us the reason behind the mitzvah. The Rashi comes on and gives us an explanation. If Rashi will tell us chayk, then Rashi should tell us that we don't know the reasons behind anything. Rashi comes on and tells us that there's a reason behind it. And we know that Shlomo HaMelech himself said, "Amarati chokma v'iru chayk amimeni." He tells us, like, it's a reason I couldn't even fathom. I didn't understand the reason behind it. Yet Rashi comes along and gives us a reason behind this. You could have looked at Rashi. Rashi would have told him the reason behind it. So also Shlomo HaMelech saying that he doesn't know the reason behind the paradigm. So the Gemara will see. This is unbelievable. See that this paraduma, the chet, goes all the way back to the beginning. Now, what do I mean by that? The Gemara on Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin, tells us that at the time of the Eitz Hadas, chet Eitz Hadas, before that, Adam Rishon was pure. After he did the aver of the chet of Eitz Hadas, entered into him the Zuhama, this impurity from the Nachash into him. Then, when did that leave him? When did that leave the Jewish people? A Matan Torah. And when did it come back into them? The Egel. So now it seems that the Chet HaEgel goes all the way back to the original beginning of the Chet Eitz Hadas. So it says the Beis HaLevi like this. If we can trace the root of the problem, will understand, going all the way back to what exactly was the paraduma being the cycle. So says the Beis HaLevi like this. By the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael on the high Darga, they just received the Torah, Har Sinai, and Moshe was missing for 40 days. Moshe, and they miscalculate. Now, what was their reaction supposed to be? Now, we know, this is, by the way, unbelievable, that Aaron was naturally supposed to be the leader of the Jewish people. So much so that before Moshe Rabbeinu came onto the scene in Mitzrayim, Aaron was the leader of the Jewish people. He was the Malik. He carried the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. He stepped aside for Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was a natural leader of the Jewish people. So what happens? They haven't seen Moshe Rabbeinu. So who are they supposed to go to and ask him what they should do? They should go to Aaron. But instead of going to Aaron and asking what they should do, they tell Aaron, this is what he should do. This is what he should do. The Beis HaLevi is telling us that this came from a place of wanting to do the right reason, but wanting to charter your own path. I want to charter my path of Avodas Hashem without asking, but I'm going to tell Aaron, this is what he should do. So it says the Beis HaLevi, this problem of charting your own path, deciding how I should do things, didn't begin over there. It began all the way back by the Chet of Yetzer Hara. He explains that this. We know Adam and Chava were given explicit instructions not to eat from Yetzer Hara. What's we see from Yetzer Hara? Explicit instructions. Now, how could they go wrong? If they had explicit instructions what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat, how could they go wrong? So Dessler and Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim in great detail tells us like this. What was the Chet of Yetzer Hara? So the Rambam tells us this, and just want to use a mashal to help us understand. Like I heard this from Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, this understanding when I've been learning through the Rambam word. He says like it's the difference between an architect and an engineer. So an architect and an engineer, they walk to a building, and an architect will tell you, an interior designer will tell you how he feels the room should be. Like if you're trying to make a dining room, so the architect will tell you, I feel this is how it should look, this is how the wall should be, this is how the... I have a feeling of the way it should look, this is the vibe that people will walk into it and feel. An engineer will tell you that you can't put a wall there because statistically the wall will break. It's impossible to put a wall there because I've done the measurements, it's impossible for it to be built like that because it's just going to collapse. Before the Chet of Eitz Adas, Adam and Chava had such a clarity of MS for Shaka. It was 100% MS. There's no tzad to do something which is wrong because it's clarity. It's like the engineer who sees everything as 100% clarity. There's nothing that will tell you to do something wrong. It's like when someone's on a diet, so they look at the rogala as a possibility, look at the chon as a possibility. Someone who's got such clarity of Adam before the Chet, it was like, it's poisonous, it'll kill me. There's no sound of doing around the world. Now why did Adam want to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Because he wanted to chart, he felt that what brings more cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where there was less clarity, there was just tov ra. Now there was entertaining a possibility of doing ra, it's not so clear anymore, it's how you feel. And because of that, that by struggling when it's not so clear, that will bring more cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we see where it lies, the Chet of the Egel, is going back to Adam and Chava, where they want to charter their path. They want to decide, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that, but I want to decide that this will bring more cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this idea of choosing because I think this is going to be what's right began by the Chet of Adam and Chava. So, now, what happened? What was the tikkun for the Chet of the Eitz Hadas? It came to Har Sinai. Why is it that when it came to Har Sinai, was that tikkun for the original Chet of Adam and Chava? Says the Beis HaLevi. Because at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael said, Naaseh v'nishma. The Naaseh v'nishma doesn't mean people do without understanding. It means, I will do even though I don't understand. It was a complete acceptance of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though I don't understand, I'm prepared to follow your path, even though I might have my own reasoning. It doesn't even make sense. But I'm prepared to do this because I'm following what you said. Came a few weeks later, and they also went on that target because they went to Aaron, and they told him what to do, rather than going to Aaron and asking what he should do. There's a story they say about Revolver. After he retired from teaching around the country, so he settled in Givat Shaul. So there was a new shul there, some youngsters that wanted to start shul, wanted to have a rav. So he went to Revolver, it was an old man, he was retired, and he said, could you be the rav? So Revolver said, If you're looking for someone who's going to lead you, someone's going to guide you, someone's going to like, take you to the next level, I'm not that person. If you're looking for a white man with a beard who will sit in the front so you can feel placated by the fact you have a rod, then that's okay. They say that was a great, they took him as well. But that Muslim, they understood exactly who Volba was going to be. It wasn't just someone who would be Avarov. It was someone they'll go to, not tell him what to do, but he would guide them into understanding what the Avodas Hashem was. So now, came along the Paraduma, and Rashi tells us the very fact that it was a Choyt, that was the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. The very fact that they were going to do something which didn't have a reason behind it, that itself was the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. So Rashi is not telling us within the Paraduma what lay behind it, but Rashi is telling us that because they were doing something which they didn't understand the reason behind it, there was a chayk, but they were doing that, that would be the ticket for the Chet HaEgel. And Be'etzem today, every mitzvah has some paraduma that lies within inside. There's another base that talks about it, because every single mitzvah is Eitz Chaim Machzikim Bo, every single mitzvah contains every single other mitzvah in the Torah, because it's one long branch. And therefore, within every mitzvah, there's parts we don't understand. By embracing that, and even without fully understanding it, that's a ticket for the Chet. Oh. So, what happens later on, we know, is that Miriam dies, and they haven't got any water, and they go to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they ask him, he's supposed to take the stick. Hashem tells him, take the stick, he's supposed to speak, instead of speaking, he hits the stick. Now, there's an unbelievable piece, which I heard many years ago from Weinberg, which brings out everything, some amazing ideas within who Miriam was and what was the chet of the law. So he starts off by saying this. Miriam we find many times we find Miriam in the Torah. But there's three crises in water that we find Miriam. The first one is this week's parasha by the bear. She dies, there's no water, and it's a bear. Where else do we find Miriam and crisis, water crisis? By? A Moshe in the river. Next. After Chris Yamsov. After Chris Yamsov, we find Miriam, and then we find that there's the Mabel River. Yes? And there's one more time?
Now.
So, is there a connection? So, start just like Miriam. Now, in the word Miriam itself, we play a bit of anagrams, you'll find the word Miriam coming up, which means Miriam is also from bitter, mar. Also, it's Vayorem. Vayorem, which is the word Miriam, is lifting up the stick. Moshe Rabbeinu is lifting up the stick. Both in this week's parasha and before the Kriyas Yamsov. So we find that Miriam is interconnected to water, Miriam is interconnected to Yamsov, and to Ma, into Meibah River. So what's Miriam got to do with all these parts? Why is there such a connection between Miriam and water? So this is a very difficult insight. Unbelievable. So we need to go back to Parasha Shmois, where it says, Vayikach, is it Bas Levi? It says that Amram went and married Yocheved. So, was it their first time marrying? Yes. We know the Medrash tells us that they got divorced because they saw there wasn't a future to Klal Yisrael. There was Gzeirah, that Kol HaBen HaYeled Tashlichu VaYor. Now, was it every child or every Jewish child?
Every child.
So, originally it started with every Jewish child. And then the Egyptian astrologers, they understood that, well, one second over here, it's going to be an Egyptian, and there's going to be an Egyptian, I can be a Jew. So they said every single child should be thrown into the water. So at that point, all the children being thrown into the river, and I'm going to come and say, there's no point being married, we're going to have children, we're going to divorce. So why did they get... Every male. So now why... So why did they get back together again? So the Medrash tells us that Miriam went and told them, I have a nevuah, that from you will be born the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. From you will be born the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. So they get married, they have a child, and Medrash tells us that Amram went up to Miriam and she said, Niskayamta Nevoah. Niskayamta Nevoah gives a kiss on the forehead. Niskayamta Nevoah, because they see a light emanating from Moshe Rabbeinu when he's born. Now he's born 3 months early. He's born 3 months early. Why is he born 3 months early? Because the Egyptians would have seen 9 months pregnancy would have happened. They would have got to come look into the house. So now it comes up to 9 months later, and they know they have to do something with this child. And out of sheer desperation, they go and throw Moshe Rabbeinu into the water. The Medrash tells us that at that point, Amram goes up to Miriam and says, now what's going to be with your Nevoah? You promised us we're going to have a child, promised us that be the Shuv of Klal Yisrael. They're finished. They've given up hope. And Moshe Rabbeinu is in some like basket in the water. The chances of survival are close to nil. But there's one person who doesn't give up. That's Miriam. Now, Miriam is standing by the side of the water. What does the pasuk say? What's the word of standing by the side? Very good. So she's standing by the side. Now, I want to skip forward and then we're going to come backwards. At Kriyas Yamsuf, Miriam, after coming out the other side, she has to dance with her friends. Ladies have to dance. And always they troubled me, you know, ladies have to dance. I'm saying, is this a modern feminist movement where it's not enough, the men have to dance, women have to dance as well. Simchas Torah, modern Azach. Like, what was this whole idea of the dancing? And then it says, Vatirakach Miriam es achos ar. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu has been cut out, he's had a chopped liver. He's forgotten about Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk. So it says that Miriam has to go and dance with the ladies. And she's not just Miriam and Avua, after she's an Avua, she's not doing any Leviyah, she's just dancing. And it says, achos ar. What's going on over here? So there's something amazing that's going on, and you'll just see how the Torah is just incredible.
Hello.
Oh. So it says the pasuk, the carry. So Miriam is standing by the side of the river, and she's waiting to see what happens. And she sees Bas Pahari coming along. Now, if you see the daughter of Hitler coming along to your Jewish child in the water, the chances of survival are zero. If it was close to zero, now it'd be zero. And Basia, she sees her now Baruch, and she has some compassion inside of her, but she's conflicted. On one hand, it's Bas Pahari, she's Bas Pahari, she knows at her father's house this child will survive. But on the other hand, she has compassion, it's a child at the end of the day. So she's not sure what to do. The Medrash tells us that Miriam went up to Bas Pahari. She goes up to her and says, I have an idea. You should wean the child in your house, and I will give you someone to wean the child. Now, Basia could have just said, maybe someone else's house. But Miriam has audacity, she has this chutzpah, she says, I'll give you, and Pahari ends up paying for a Jewish lady to come and feed this Jewish child in the house of Hitler. That's crazy. Imagine in Reichstag, they're raising a child, which is the complete opposite of everything we stand for. It's beyond your imagination. It's beyond crazy. So now Moshe brings people up in the house of Pahari. We don't hear Miriam again. She's the one that doesn't give up. She's the one that's standing on the side. She says, I'm going to see what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then now the Jewish people are standing by the front, by the Yam Suf. Moshe is standing there, Asfas Hayam. The same Asfas, which was Miriam was standing by the side. Where does Moshe Rabbeinu learn not to give up? For Miriam. The same way she stood by the front of the river of reeds. Moshe Rabbeinu is not stuck in the river. What's the pasuk say? She's in the Moshe is in the reeds. Moshe Rabbeinu is now standing by the Yam Suf. What's the Yam Suf? It's not the Red Sea, it's the Sea of Reeds. It's the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu saw, I stand by the side and I'll wait. And the Klal Yisrael are in despair. Material behind them, the idols on either side, the animals, the water's in front of them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hitzyatzvu uru es Yisrael Hashem. I don't know how it's going to work out. But Miriam taught me I don't give up. Miriam taught me B'tochen is, even when logically and statistically it doesn't make sense, the Yid has B'tochen. Hitzyatzvu uru es Yisrael Hashem. When Miriam is standing by the side of the water, statistically, it's an impossibility to survive. Every Jewish child thrown into the water. A child taken into Pharaoh's house is never going to survive. Miriam says, let's wait and see how Hashem has a plan. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing by the Yam Suf. Klal Yisrael in despair. Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, statistically, I don't really have a way of getting out of this. But I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Marav HaTeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. Let's wait. Let's take on to Umnois Avi Seichem. Let's see the Tachon of Kalai Shoah. Things can work out, even though I logically can't see a way out of this. And the Jewish people go by, go through the Yam, Hashem splits the sea. No one can imagine. Hashem is the man of that. And I imagine the men are seeing Miriam. They see Miriam, she's got tambourines. And imagine someone asking her before Yamsuf, what are you doing with these tambourines? Because don't worry, we're going to celebrate one day. There's a great line, not from a Jewish person. I wish it was, but it's a good line anyway. In the end, it'll be okay. If it's not okay, it's not yet the end. In the end, it'll be okay. It's John Lennon, by the way. Anyway, we go back to him. So, Miriam's there, and they come out on the other side of the water. And now what happens? Miriam has to sing. Why does she have to sing a song? Because in Niskayma Nevuah, from the beginning, when she was the one that originally prophesied that Moshe will be the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, and people were doubting her, her followers doubting her, she says, now I see that the Nevuah has come true, I need to have a song. This is my Shira, because I was the one that foresaw this. And therefore it says, Vatinok Achmir HaNevuah, because she's now dancing, she's Achis Aaron, because at the time of the Nevuah, she wasn't yet the sister of Moshe, she was just the sister of Aaron. Miriam is the one that has that Tachon, even though logistically it doesn't make sense, even though it doesn't make sense. Carries on. And now the Jewish people are complaining, there's no water, how are we going to survive? And Moshe Rabbeinu is in despair. So they throw the stick into the water, water turns into something sweet, and it comes out. 3 days later, the Jewish people complain again. Hashem is in despair. Why are you complaining? Don't you have Tachon in me? Don't you trust me that I will provide for you? But there's one person who has trust. Even though it does make sense. That's Miriam. And Hashem says, you know what will carry you for the next 30 years in the desert? It's going to be the Be'er Miriam. That she believed, even though I don't understand how the Jewish people can be carried through the desert for 38 years, for 40 years without any water, but Miriam is the one that teaches us. Now, have you understand that? Because Baruch Hu can do it. He's the Kolochel. It's Azur Res, Shras Hashem. And that's Chus is what carried them through the bear, through the desert. It comes to this week's parasha, she dies. The Jewish people, they haven't got water. Because of Moshe Rabbeinu, they complain again. Because Jewish people, they complain. It's unbelievable. I just thought about it. Was most of the people at that point, 38 years later, they weren't in Mitzrayim. They heard about it, but they something goes small, slightly wrong. Their whole world collapses. They've lost their Yeshiva Das. They complain. They want to go back to Mitzrayim. They never even were in Mitzrayim. They didn't even know how bad it was. And they were surrounded by miracles. All these that they were living. But no, I just want to go back to Mitzrayim. The person can lose it. Perspective when everything is going right, one thing goes wrong, terrible. Now, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to speak to the rock. You need to speak to the rock. Take your stick. You need to speak to the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes along, and he hits the rock. Now, if I would hit the shtender, and water would come pouring out for the whole of Klal Yisrael, everyone would say it's an unbelievable kiddush Hashem. If I'd speak to the shtender, I'd say, bring out some water. It'd be amazing kiddush Hashem. So what was so bad about Moshe Rabbeinu did that he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi tells us that they should have made a kavod chomer. Just like the rock listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so two Klal Yisrael should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Explains the Maharal. Explains the Maharal. That a rock doesn't have feelings. It's a rock. It doesn't feel the feelings of right and wrong. Yet it listens to the rots of Hashem. Says the Maharal, a yid that has feelings, a yid that when it does what's right, it feels good about what it's done, even more so, should follow the rots of Hashem. So Rebbe explained this Maharal like this. He said that a yid, why do we do what's right? He said the natural state of a yid should want to do the Ratzon Hashem because it feels right. Shabbos feels good. When you nisgan the Ratzon Hashem, you your natural will is to want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The year that lives with B'tochim, it's the greatest feeling in the world, is to have a relationship with Hashem. What can be greater than transcending this world and connecting to the ultimate creator of humanity? Someone you can have a personal relationship with. A personal dream to have a personal relationship with their greatest hero. Someone greater than that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The natural state of a yid is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the stick, so in every relationship, of course there's rules. Every relationship has rules. But the rules, you don't pull out the rules in a healthy relationship. A marriage has rules, a school has rules, everything has rules, we live in a country that has rules. But you don't pull out the rules unless a relationship has gone sour. But the way that we mechanech our children is through, this is naturally yours, this is a good, something good for you. The way that we raise our children today is not through force, it's understanding that this is the greatest. This is the greatest, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of filling the rots in Hashem, this world and the next world, it's the greatest in the world. So, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he feels that these people aren't going to listen. And therefore he has to take a stick and hit them. Hit the rock. Hashem says, if you're going to be bringing the people into Eretz Yisrael, it can't be through force. Yiddishkeit can't be through coercion. You can't bring up a people in a straitjacket and say, there's rules, this is what you have to do, and if you don't do it, you're going to get in trouble. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is where I understand that this is the greatest for me. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this perspective of you think Christ's role is only through rules, you have to believe in them to the extent you tell them this is naturally, this is something you should want to do. So you head towards the end of the parasha, and there's an unbelievable Meshech Chachma. It gave me so much chizuk yesterday. I heard it from Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. I put it together with something I also heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Lagowitz. So Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. And Hashem said, "V'im Hashem Moshe l'Aron Yam v'imantim bi lag v'sheni le'ini kol b'leistom v'chein l'sebiu v'sakal zeh l'oritz Hashem v'sati b'hem." So the Maharal asks that, this is unbelievable, Moshe Rabbeinu already told a few times they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Remember he told they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. When? Shmois. So why? Because he doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, well, it's getting worse. Hashem says, already then, Hashem's meramis to him. And he sees through Nevuah that he won't go into Eretz Yisrael. So he's already seen through Nevuah that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, as the Maharal. So, why are they here? As Hashem saying, that now, because of the chait of the Be'er, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? Again, a nevuah, if it's a nevuah, there's two types of nevuah. Sometimes a nevuah, which is later nevi'im, is it's a prophecy towards the future. If you don't do teshuvah, then this is what Hashem is going to do. So that's still a possibility to be able to change. But here the nevuah was, you are not going into Eretz Yisrael. You doubted me, therefore you are not going into Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean now that Hashem is saying, because now the chait of the be'er, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Says Maharal about this. Says Maharal, and this goes back to the Chet Hamraglim. Hamraglim, the spies, Hashem says, because you came back with bad reports, you're not going to go into Israel. Asked the Tzfas Emes, what do you mean? Already in the stars, already in the Antigonus, already it was written that the Dor HaMidbar wouldn't be going to Israel. Why did you go to Israel? Because there were slaves, and slaves can't go to a land which is going to be rebuilt for the future, for whatever reason. It was already written they weren't going to Israel. So, was it because of the Meraglim, therefore not going to go to Eretz Yisrael? Answer to the Tzfas Emes. Answer to the Tzfas Emes. That there's nothing that Tefillah can't accomplish. Even if there was a Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. But he, through Tefillah, he was able to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. So, already in Shemois, even Hashem said, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw through Nevuah, that he was going to go into Eretz Yisrael, through Tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to change reality. Even though through the Zohar wrote in the world up there, the class of the Dor HaMidbar weren't supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, through Tefillah, they've been able to change reality. It's the power of Tefillah. So, but only when Hashem says, I've made now a Shavuah, in this week's parasha, Hashem says, where it was Mefurash, at that point, Hashem said, you can still daven. But Hashem has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, don't daven because it's actually going to be bad for you to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu has to stop later on. But we see over here this idea, unless we hear Shavuot from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tefillah can change reality. Now, just to leg through a tiny and still Mertek Chizuk, at the end of the parasha, who goes to war with Klal Yisrael? Who goes to war with Klal Yisrael? Vishma Kenani Melech Arad Yeshiv HaNegev. So who is this? Who's Yeshiv HaNegev?
Amalek.
It's Amalek. So Rashi asks, why does it say Vishma Kenani? So says Rashi, Yeshiv HaNegev, Ze Amalek. Shnei Amalek, Yeshiv HaNegev. We know that Negev is always Amalek. So why does it say Kenan? This Rashi tells us, Kadesh Hu Yisrael Mispalim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they go to war. Who are they going to daven to be saved from? No. They're going to daven to be saved from Canaan.
Never Amalek.
But it's Amalek. Okay? Now, how did Amalek pretend to be Canaan? So Rashi tells us. So they see that they're dressed like Amalekim, but they're speaking like Canaanim. So they're speaking like Canaanim, but they're dressed up like Amalekim. Klai Yisrael are going to daven to be saved from Canaan. But really it's Amalek, and therefore the tefillah is not going to work. Ask the Meshach Chachma. Is that tefillah? It's like a postal, like an email, that if you don't get the dot exactly right, therefore the email is not going to go. So Klai Yisrael are davening that, please save us Hashem from Canaan, or really it's Amalek, and because Amalek, and because it really is Amalek and not Canaan, therefore Hashem is not going to listen to that tefillah. The other question? It's a simple question. You have a question?
Yeah.
So this is Murdoch. Says Meshach Chachma like this. Says Meshach Chachma that Canaan was supposed to be given to Klal Yisrael. That was a promise. Amalek was no guarantee. We win over Amalek. So if Klal Yisrael think it's Canaan, how are they going to daven? How do we daven when it's Magiali? I've got a couple of properties. I have to daven part also so much. It's going to come anyway. I've got a salary. I have to daven for parnasa. It's anyway going to happen. So it's just my mitzvah sadashim limuda. I'm healthy. I have to daven for refeinu. I've got an average brain. I have to daven for more da'as. I'm fine. Says Meshach Chachma, this is unbelievable. Amalek was trying to take away the intensity of davening from Klal Yisrael. If they would think it's Canaan, it's Hashem anyway promises to me. So I'll just daven for Hashem to let us win over Canaan. If Klal Yisrael would have realized it's Amalek, that whole level of intensity of davening, Hashem, I need you to save me from Amalek, that would have been a tefillah that would have saved them from Amalek. But Amalek changed their language in order for Klal Yisrael to think it's Canaan. So Hashem, no, please save me from Canaan. It wouldn't have been that same level of intensity. And yet when they daven, with this intense Hashem, I need you in everything. Nothing is a guarantee. Hashem, the purpose of tefillah is for us to connect Hashem and speak to Him and have a conversation with Him. Tefillah is supposed to be like really, really davening Hashem. I need you for every part of my life. Nothing is a given. Nothing is davening as if Hashem, my whole life depends on you. Every area of my life depends on you. So all of this, murdering. The way we daven is not in a way that's just expected. I daven every single part of my tefillah should be like the chinuch of my children. It's not like, they're doing well. Therefore, Hashem, we have to. Every part of our life is something we need to push and daven for and have real ask Hashem, speak to Hashem. Because that's what tefillah is all about. Speaking it, about the Hashem, my whole life depends on you. So I think the yisoid of chukas is one of the munah, one of tefillah, one of the building out a relationship with Hashem. The same way at the beginning, spoke about at the beginning, of speaking to our rabbanim, asking for advice rather than telling them what we should do. But going back to Miriam was one that lived with B'tochen the whole life. She's the one that never ever gave up. She's standing by the Klal Yisrael saying, we're not going to have any children. She says, have a child. She's standing by the river. Statistically, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to survive. She stands and doesn't give up her. After she comes out, she's the one that has her and Munah and B'tochen carries her through the desert. And the Chizuk Tefillah, that Tefillah can change reality. With our intensity, with really connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should zoicha. That's what it's Shosh Hashem. That's Shosh Hashem.
Oh, man. Hey,
Shosh
Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem. Hey, Shosh Hashem.